Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Mark Fleischer from Strategic Solution Partners. In today's discussion, we look at the impact of ineffective maintenance prevention on hotel costs, guest satisfaction, future revenue, and ultimately, hotel profit. We explore attitudes amongst hotel GMs around preventative maintenance and the balancing act they face post-COVID. Using a number of anecdotal stories and experiences, we extrapolate the potential impact on hotel costs, refunds, and reputational damage. And finally, we consider two simple tasks that can be implemented right now to reduce future risks. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey, Mark, nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us today. How are things with you? You well?
Oh, fantastic. It's my pleasure to be here.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So we're going to come at what I think is a very interesting topic. I think the fact that we're talking about it and through this discussion, we might hear some scenarios that not everyone shares the same, raises it quite high up the priority list that you certainly would do. And I can see the benefits of doing it. So we're going to be looking at effective maintenance or the impact of ineffective maintenance on revenue, profit, and also reputation. So that's what we're going to be covering. I'm conscious we've got a relatively short period of time with you, so we're going to keep this quite tight, but obviously not wanting to whiz through and not hear your insights and I think some interesting anecdotes that maybe illustrate the points. But let's get going. Maybe if we can start off first and foremost by you introducing yourself, let us know who you are and why we've got you on here talking about this topic. Over to you.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So my name is Mark Fleischer. I am the owner of DLB Project Coordination and Management LLC. I do a variety of things in regards to hotel renovations, hotel preventative maintenance, consultation. I work for a number of companies, including Strategic Solution Partners, a bunch of different management companies, different ownership groups. My background is I worked myself up from collecting parking tickets in a parking booth in a full service hotel into engineering, to becoming a chief engineer, to becoming a general manager, and then finally a full service general manager. Then I got into renovating hotels and consulting and performing property maintenance assessments. So that's it in a quick nutshell.
In a quick nutshell. Perfect. Yeah. And as you say, this is part of a series that we've been doing with Strategic Solution Partners. We've had a number of their consultants that they work with who are partners with them on here. And I think as we can clearly see, now we understand why we're talking about this topic and why you have a wealth of experience to extol. So let me start off with a pretty general question. And we're not talking specifics or throwing anybody under a bus here. We're not calling anybody out. But I'm just interested from your perspective, having been a GM and now working with management companies and consulting, how would you describe GM's approach to preventative maintenance, the view on engineering, as a task to perform as opposed to maybe recognizing its impact on the ability to generate revenue and profitability?
That's a long question. In a nutshell, unfortunately, in speaking with a number of general managers over the past few years, as I've been to well over 50 hotels in the last few years, I don't get the sense that general managers today really get the full impact of engineering until all of a sudden something's broken. Right. And then they're like, oh my God, how come this didn't happen? And it's not so much individual GM's faults, but it's just been a progression over the last few years, and especially post-COVID, sure, or during COVID, post-COVID, where most hotels that I've seen, especially in the limited service hotels, may not even have an engineer on staff, and they might have one, and that person really is a light bulb changer, they do some caulking, they unplug a toilet, you know, and just some minimal work.
Yeah.
The real engineers, like when I was an engineer in a full service hotel, where we had 8 people in the department and a painter, a plumber, an electrician, et cetera, et cetera. You don't see that a lot anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's very unfortunate. So what happens is general managers today are very reactive instead of being proactive.
Yeah.
The other part with the general manager is, especially in the limited service hotels, and especially since during and post-COVID, you know, a lot of these general managers are working a desk shift.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
doing their accounting, and they're the engineer, and they're ordering, you know, and they're the housekeeper. So they're just reacting right now, and they just don't have the time to be proactive and assess what's happening in their property. And I don't mean all of them. I mean, there's some great engineers, some great general managers out there. it's just what it is today, you know, and it's very unfortunate.
No, that makes sense. And we're going to later in this conversation come on to maybe some specific examples as we narrow down to areas in a hotel and what the impact might be. But again, just with this broad overview to start with, I think to your point there about how a general manager can be spread quite thinly. You know, sometimes we don't even have the capacity time-wise, even if we haven't fully understood the implications, to almost be able to connect all the dots to say, okay, here is a potential problem and this is where the impact could be. So back to you, your time as a GM and putting yourself in those shoes, which is obviously what you're doing when you're consulting with them. What are the big areas that maybe aren't so clearly obvious? When we have a problem, we see we need to fix it.
Yep.
But what is the impact on the hotel in the big strategic areas if we have ineffective maintenance programs or approaches?
So I laugh because you and I, the last time we spoke, what happened to me the next morning?
Yeah.
And so what happened was, and so the viewers know, is that you and I were talking about different things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I mentioned was, you know, the recirc pump and the hot water and why do people stay in a hotel?
Yeah.
They stay in a hotel, they need some place to sleep. And then they need a place to wash up and shower.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning after we spoke, the recirc pump for the hot water went out in the hotel I was staying at. And so I woke up to no hot water. And so, I mean, that's
which is ironic. Yeah,
you remember the
yeah email yeah too. Yeah yeah yeah. I do.
I remember not showering. So luckily they were able to get, you know, somebody out here and get it repaired, and I was able to shower a couple hours later. But you know, that was the big thing, and it will go back to something I know we're going to have a lengthy discussion about, is walking your property effectively and using a checklist to make sure you look at certain things every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And if the engineer had done that, that may not have been an issue.
Well,
go ahead.
No, go on. So let's take that as an example then, because that moves us straight into talking about specifics. And sometimes that's an easier way to illustrate the points.
Yep.
So we could look at that and say, okay, so the recirculation pump didn't work. Okay, fine. So couldn't have a shower. Let's go and fix the recirculation pump. Job done. So we have a cost associated with obviously fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it than just solving that problem, isn't it? Can you kind of take us sort of unravel that ball of string, so to speak, that as to what are the broader implications that may not be quite so evident at the point where we were having to react to that problem?
Yeah. And so I stress every time I go to a hotel about having a daily documented walkthrough checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hotel in question, the engineer is a smart guy. He mm-hmm. really is. But he doesn't have a daily documented walkthrough checklist. And so if he was on that and walked his property effectively every single day and looked at these little things, he may have pointed out and realized that the problem was not so much as the motor, because the motor in this instance was good. Mm-hmm. The problem that caused this to happen, and I want to back up. This can happen in any hotel. It's happened to me in my hotels before, and I had systems in place to correct it. Sometimes a motor just burns up. So it's not about that. The reason this one burned up is because it was connected to an extension cord,
right,
and not wired properly. And the extension cord got so hot that it tripped the breaker because it wasn't wired effectively. It wasn't wired properly. Wow. If the engineer had walked through and noticed this, he may have been able to solve this in advance, and this never would have happened. So walking through things and paying attention to what you have in your property can easily keep the bad things from happening. And like I said, I've had it happen to me at my hotels before. Sometimes things just break.
It's I mean, it's not pointing fingers at anybody, but it's just trying to catch this before.
But with this specific instance, if he had walked through and noticed this, he may have stopped this from happening. And then, you know, the hot water would have been maintained throughout the hotel. So that's a good example of, you know, keeping an eye on things and making, keeping things from breaking.
And I guess, depending on the size of the property, I mean, do you, would you have one recirculation pump for a whole property, even if it was like 100, 200 rooms, or would there be multiple pumps? How does it work? Just narrowing down on that.
It depends on the property. It really does. And I'll use the same recirc pump in another situation. And we talked about this briefly. While I was performing property maintenance assessments for one company, I had gone to one of their hotels. I did a walkthrough, and the vice president of operations, you know, took my notes and took my report and sent it to all of his hotels. And so when I got to the next hotel, the engineer said, "Hey, I just want to thank you." And I'm like, "For what?" He goes, "I read the report, and I wasn't walking my hotel." And so I walked up to the boiler room and I looked inside, and my recirc pump was leaking. And he said, "You know, I wouldn't have looked at that." And this was like on Thursday or a Friday. He goes, "You know, and who knows, maybe if that blew on a Saturday or Sunday and I wasn't here, it would have leaked all over the place. It would have caused a mess, and just below it was the telephone room." And so who knows what could have happened from there. He goes, "So I just want to thank you for you know,
flagging it,
notating
in a way.
This." And so it's another instance with hot water. It's another instance with a recirc pump. But he read it, and he took it. He took the advice of what I said, and he started doing the walkthrough. And he could have prevented something from happening. So we have two scenarios. One, the first engineer, smart guy, like I said, wasn't walking his property and didn't pay attention. Boom, that one goes out. I have no hot water. The second scenario is he's not walking his property, but he saw my notes, took into effect, or realized that I think it's very important to walk your property. He does walk his property, finds the problem in advance, and fixes it before there's an issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess, as you said, one of them, the latter one, it was leaking, and that was above their telephone room. So I mean, the impact if that had carried on and then had broken or continue to leak would have been not only having to fix the pump, if it had happened over a weekend, the additional cost of getting somebody out to solve it, then the third problem of it leaking down, depending how long it had been unnoticed into the telephone room and those implications. On your first scenario where it wasn't working, I mean, I don't know how a pump plugged into an extension cord and then that trips can affect a much broader, I'm not an expert in electrics to know, but you can imagine there also being broader scenarios. And that's if we're looking at a tactical level. If we're now looking at this and thinking, well, how many guests would have been impacted by this? How is it being handled? What is the guest experience like? What then are the reviews going to be? I mean, now we suddenly focus at the other end of the equation, which is the impact on our reputation, on being able to continue to hold our rates. You know, we're extrapolating this out, but sometimes I think it's that bit that isn't quite appreciated as the impact on our reputation and what that could cost us in terms of revenue generation, maintaining our prices when we're trying to work out, you know, do we save a few nickels and dimes here, or do we invest the money there to make sure we can keep the dollars coming in?
Right. Well, and so this is where we get to the other side. So now we're talking about money, which, you know, owners care about.
Yeah,
you know, management companies care about. Everybody cares about because you need money. We're in the hospitality business, but we're really in the money-making business. You know, owners make money, and that's why they buy a hotel. And so management companies manage a company so they can make money. We're all in the money-making business. Granted, it's hospitality, but we are in the money-making business. Mm-hmm. So this is where it hurts now. So, and I've been on the other side of the desk when we've lost hot water or something's happened and there was an alarm in the middle of the night or whatever, and people come down and they want their money back. So we've gone from making, let's say it's $150 a night and giving that money back the next day.
Yeah.
And so we're losing money. And you know, oftentimes people don't see the difference between making money and losing money. It still gets to the bottom line. And so not only have we lost money and we're giving a refund to everybody, people are mad. And you know what they say? I think it's, if something goes well, one in 100 people will tell you, oh my God, you know, it was great. If something goes bad, it's like 1 in 10 people will tell you.
Yeah.
And so they will get online and they will say, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened. You know, we lost hot water. It was horrible. I had to take a cold shower in the morning, and they'll just go on and on and on. So not only, you know, you might be giving them back the room revenue from the night before, you might have to buy them breakfast, you might have to do this or that, but they can also go online and comment about it. And there's nothing you can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can apologize online, but it's still out there. You know, like they say in the internet, once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
And then for scores, you know, for your GSS or your SALT scores or whatever your brand is, you know, that anything below an 8, you know, or anything below a 9, really 9 or 10 counts as positive. Anything below that, and you know, it's a negative for you. So it's going to affect your QA. It's going to could affect your bonus. It could affect anything. So, and it's there, you know, it's, you guys stink. I didn't get a shower. It's, you know.
Yeah, the reputation is tarnished.
Reputation, money.
And I think that's a good point. It's the refunds as well, isn't it? Because you know if you've done that, you feel obliged to give something somewhere.
Yep.
So when you actually totaled up the cost of fixing it, the cost of giving away money, freebies, whatever that may be, and then the potential cost, which is sometimes hard to quantify, of tarnished reputation, it actually could really start to mount up to a significant number that's just the byproduct of an ineffective preventative maintenance mindset.
Without a doubt. In just a simple walkthrough.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting money to it. It could be, you know, 20-30 minutes of a person's day to walk through the property every day and pay attention to certain things. And, you know, that's just one example. It could be something else that's, you know, it could be temperatures, refrigeration for you.
Yeah, I was going to ask some of the other examples where you see some of that. What are some of the higher areas? So you've recirculation pump, you've mentioned refrigeration. Yep. What's that one?
Refrigeration. So, you know, a lot of most hotels, you know, have some type of breakfast or something, you know, full service hotels obviously have breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, room service. Limited service hotels, almost every single one has some type of breakfast option and something that has to be kept cold.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about refrigeration, a walk-in cooler, walk-in freezer. And, you know, you go through every day and you're supposed to take temperature readings to see what's happening. And if you can gradually see that the temperature is going up, you might be able to address a problem. If you go through and you can hear the fan making noise, you might be able to catch something in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, sometimes things break.
Yeah,
but
a
lot of times you can catch something happening. You know, if you're taking your temperature readings, like I said, and you see every day it's kind of creeping up and you kind of hear a noise, a rattling sound or something, or you hear a loud compressor, you catch that in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it goes out overnight and you come in the next morning and all of your food has thawed.
Yeah.
You can't serve it. You know, temperatures go above 40 degrees. You can't put yogurt out. You can't put your milk out. And so what's going to happen? Everybody comes down for a breakfast. You've got a sold out hotel. They come in, you have no milk, you have no yogurt, you have nothing you can put out. You can't put eggs out. You There's so many things you can't put out, plus the loss of inventory.
Yeah.
You could have potentially lost thousands of dollars. If that cooler, that temperature, like I said, goes above 40 degrees, you got to throw everything away.
So
you can have meat,
yeah,
fish, anything in there.
So you're back to that same scenario, isn't it? It's the cost of now repairing it.
Yep.
It's the cost of all the produce that you had bought that you've now had to throw. It's correct. The cost of maybe having to reimburse or refund the guests that are there at the moment. And then it's the difficult to quantify cost of reputation of people going online and saying you're rubbish.
Right.
And as you say, but you're not going to know that. You're not going to know there's a problem coming unless you are there, present, repetitively.
Right.
Trying to prevent something.
And keeping an eye on things. And that's why, you know, one of the other big things I talk about is, aside from the engineer doing the walkthrough, is your kitchen staff has to do daily temperature checks. Mm-hmm. And it has to be twice a day, at least minimum twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You've got to keep an eye on these things. You know, how many, when the health inspector comes through, they always come through with their little thermometer and they stick it in and they wait there.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen QA inspectors do that. You know, they'll pick up a sausage and they'll stick it in there and make sure that's maintaining temp on the line, mm-hmm. you know. They'll stick it into a yogurt. They'll stick it into milk or what have you. Same thing happened to me. I was literally at a hotel last week and I was grabbing a bowl of granola and I grabbed a thing of milk. I looked at the data and I said, okay, I poured it in and it was just chunky coming out.
Aye.
Now that could have been random. It could have just been a bad, but I don't know. I mean, the date on it was good. The milk was bad. Did it sit out too long? Was it in the refrigerator? I don't know. I didn't follow up with it. I had to go. But things like that happen, you know? Right. And so if I was a regular guest and, not there on work and I got that, I could go online saying my milk was bad. It ruined my breakfast. I want a refund.
Yeah.
You know, today people really want a lot more in return, mm-hmm. You know, than what I would consider as justifiable,
they're almost less tolerant of a mistake, isn't it? Because we know right. that we can get on, start tagging the hotel, and all of a sudden we're going to get a reaction. Whereas in the past, yes. you'd maybe go up and see somebody, and you yep. might say, "Oh, by the way, the milk was off. I don't know if it's a one off. Someone would address it, deal with it. Apologies, really sorry. I go about my business. They rectify it. I'm not amplifying that message to 1,000 yep. people on a social media. No, it doesn't happen anymore. It just
in the social media, yeah.
Oh, they'll be taking a photo of it and say, look at my right. milk.
You know, somebody's live streaming. Look, the water's cold. I can't even put my hand in it. Or exactly. Look, they're live streaming on their phone saying, look, there's no breakfast here. The refrigeration broke down. So we have to go get some breakfast, even though we paid for breakfast on our rate. And I want my money back. And I want breakfast someplace else. And I want a free return stay.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, then everybody sees it. You see it on Facebook. You see it on Twitter. You see it on Instagram. You know, it's just a phenomenon.
Not the kind of images or videos that a hotel is trying to have across social media.
Yep. Well, no, not at all.
Where else? So we've spoken about the re-soak pump that can obviously affect the showers. Yep. We've talked about refrigeration that can affect... obviously the food provision. What's another big area that maybe can cause a problem that isn't quite so obvious?
The pool, uh-huh. you know, the pool fitness center, stuff like that, you know, and it's funny. I have this conversation with people every time I go to a hotel, and a pool temperature is typically 80 degrees. That's a preferred setting.
Mm-hmm.
80 degrees is kind of cool according to your body.
Yeah.
And it's all about how the temperature you keep your pool room, the temperature you keep your pool, the temperature you might keep your hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're in Florida, for instance, or Southern California or something like that, or the Caribbean, wherever you're at, and you get into the ocean or get into a pool, you know, it's more like 90 degrees. It's very warm.
Mm-hmm.
But a pool really is more for cooling. It's more... you know, it's not a bathtub, you know, that's what the hot tub's for.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know, people will come in and go, oh my God, that pool's freezing cold. And you test it and you're like, you know, it's 82 degrees. You know, it's actually kind of warm. You know, I wish my pool at home was 82 degrees right now. You know, so that's something that can generate a lot of guest complaints.
A lot of chatter.
So you want to kind of turn it up. But at the same time, what happens is if people don't know how to set the pool temperature and the space temperature, you can get a lot of condensation and start ruining things. Mm-hmm. And so there are oftentimes I'll walk into a pool room and you'll see condensation dripping on the windows or the ceiling or, you know, in the soffits. And that's because the pool water is warmer than the air.
Gotcha.
And so what happens, it condensates and you build up moisture. And the next thing you know, you've got water dripping down.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maintaining pool temperature is very important. If you have a heater and the heater's not set right, maybe the heater's not working properly, or maybe the filter's blocked and so the heater isn't working, and you haven't maintained the pool properly, that's one thing. The other thing is the pool chemicals. You know, you get, you know, the soccer team comes in and they just got done playing and you've got 40 kids in your pool and, you know, it starts getting cloudy and dirty. Yeah. And if you're not maintaining it properly, well, then it's cloudy the next day and you really can't let people in because your chlorine pH is off. So, you know, maintaining your pool properly is another big deal, especially for the leisure traveler.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess it's all in terms of, you know, when we were talking about this, about what we were going to talk about, I think you made a good point that at the end of the day, you know, I'm coming there to sleep.
Yep.
And then there's going to be something else that I'm doing when I'm there. So it's kind of quality of life things, isn't it? Yep. So I expect to be able to go down and eat. I expect to be able to have a shower, probably. Yep. If you know, if you got heating, ventilating, air conditioning, you know, you expect that to be working. Anything yep. that impacts that quality of life, therefore impacts on the quality of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happens the moment the experience gets compromised.
Exactly. And the other thing is, so we talked about more things. We talked about water and food, but we really haven't talked about the guest room yet. And mm-hmm. so, yes, you go there to sleep. You know, there was, I used to work for a company that had an air mattress.
Okay.
And so part of the air mattress issue was that if you would set it in the medium firmness, and so some people like a firmer mattress and some people like a softer mattress. So if you wanted to make it softer, you had to reach underneath the side near the pillows and turn the knob down a little bit. And that would make it a little softer. But if you wanted it firmer, you had to, it worked on gravity. So you had to turn it to the other side and then you had to get out of the bed for it to fill up on its own.
Okay.
And so, so you can see where the challenge is with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, You just need a place to lay your head and you get into your room and maybe you've had a long bad travel day or you've been driving for hours, your plane was delayed, you get to your room, it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, you just want to lay down and you kind of like fall right into it because it's too soft. You know, so you call the front desk and you say, my bed's really soft, can I get a new room? Oh, we're sold out, sir, I'm so sorry. This is what you need to do. You need to, next to the head, next to the pillows, turn that knob to the right and then wait 20 minutes and then get back in bed and see if it's firm enough for you.
Yeah. That first bit, you got to get out of bed to then do it first.
And the funny part about this is that really happened. That was a real bed from a major hotel chain. And you can see the craziness just as I say it.
Yeah,
that was a real life thing. And, you know, it's, that's it. So you could have, maybe there's a hole in it. You just want a good bed.
Yeah.
You know, you want a mattress that you can sleep on. There's nothing I can say about that one. Air mattress in hotels don't work.
No, absolutely not. Look, I am conscious of your time. One of the things, I guess something you said when I asked you that first question about the GM's attitude or mm-hmm. approach, and you made a valid point that, you know, we are coming out of COVID.
Yep.
People are trying to reclaim back revenue that was lost for a couple of years. We're a lot tighter on budgets and staff. We know resources, whether it be cash or people or time, is very restricted. So in a way, it feels like there's a bit of a catch-22 situation, which is if I have a problem, it's easier to go and say, I've got a problem, I need some money, we've got to go and fix it. To go and say, I want to be more preventative. I want to get ahead of it. I guess it's a bit like us as human beings, isn't it? We all know what we should be doing better in terms of eating, exercising, but we wait until something happens and then we deal with it. So in a way, we kind of feel we fit between those two stools. But you've kind of indicated that there, you know, the daily walkthrough is something that you've advocated. And I'll let you talk about that again in a minute. But I mean, if I was sitting there thinking, okay, I can see there are implications. I can see I need to get on maybe track because I've let it go a little bit. I don't have the bandwidth to cope with this. How do I take my property as it is now and get to a point where I understand what am I doing or what am I not doing? And then how do I take that and do something about it?
Oh, that's easy. So this is the easiest part of the whole thing. You contact Strategic Solution Partners and ask them to call me so I can come pay you a visit and help you. That's the easiest thing. And so one of the things I do when I do a walkthrough and I do a property maintenance assessment is I always give them my spreadsheet of, and it's an Excel spreadsheet so you can customize it for your hotel. Mm-hmm. I give them a spreadsheet. I said, let's walk through your hotel. Let's customize it for you. And this is what you do. And so, you know, that's the first step is really, like I said, contacting SSP, having them get a hold of me. We can set up a property tour and a property visit and go through it. And I can walk the GM through. I can walk the engineer through. I can walk the VP. I can walk anybody through the hotel and say, this is what I look at.
And this is a property maintenance assessment, you said, PMA. Yeah, it's a
correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so, you know, that's step one really is knowing how to walk your hotel. I know a lot of people that say they walk their hotel, but documenting it and actually making you go into certain spaces and look at every single thing and actually doing it can prevent so many bad things from happening. That's the first step. And then from there, as you start to find things, then you can make a list and you can, you know, you can, is it critical? Is it, you know, good to get done? Is it something, you know, make that list and prioritize it to what you want to do. How is it going to impact the guest and how is it going to impact the hotel? I'm actually working with a company, a group right now, and we just created it, what we call the immediate impact plan. Mm-hmm. And so we went to all the properties. We wrote down critical things that would make an immediate impact to guest scores and guest service, and we're presenting that to right. ownership. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step. It really is getting somebody, like I said, like myself, and I'm not just promoting me.
No.
But getting somebody like myself to come through and say, this is the form. This is how you start. This is how you walk your property. This is what you look for. And this is how you can be successful. And this is how you can make more money and avoid, you know, bad customer service.
Well, if nothing else, just stop losing money. No, that's brilliant. Okay. I think that was all the key points that we wanted to touch on. And thank you for the examples and the scenarios, because although they seem quite lighthearted and we were having a little bit of a giggle, but the reality is it affects the hotel. It affects the staff, because if you're getting complaints, no one likes that. It affects the guest. It affects the reputation. And so ultimately, it is going to affect your revenue and your profitability. And as you say, for getting some simple things in place to start with, a lot of that can be prevented.
And you know one thing I didn't mention? Being a GM or being at the front desk, and when a guest comes down and tells you something bad about your property or something bad that happened to him, you know, like I said, we're in the money-making business, but, you know, for us on the hospitality side that have stood behind the front desk and somebody comes down and says something to you, it hurts. It really does. When somebody comes and says, you know, I had a horrible night at your hotel, and you're just like, oh, you know, you you empathize with the person. And so it physically hurts to hear things like that about your property, because, you know, you take pride in what you do. You really do. So when, like I said, let's get rid of that also, because we've all been behind that front desk. You know, I speak to all the other general managers and front desk and engineers. When somebody comes up and says anything bad, it hurts. It really does. You know, we have pride in what we do. And so, yes, let's save some money. Let's not give money back. Let's make more money. Let's increase our scores. Let's make our guests happy. And let's not feel bad because, you know, we let that person down. Oh, yeah. It's like if somebody came to stay at your house and they said, you know, the room was really hot. I mean, how would you feel?
Yeah, I know. But I think that's how GMs and stuff feel, don't they? You know, yes, we are in the money-making business, but it's still hospitality. You're still welcoming somebody into your house, so to speak. So it does hurt. I think that's a great final point to end it on. And thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciated your time. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day. I'll talk soon.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Mark for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.